Blog Talk Radio.
What kind of music? Kind of guy. What kind of takeoff? Hey. Hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Acting like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known, you were hating on the low. I've been known, they were hating on the low. I've been known, he was hating on the low. I've been known, she was hating on the low. I been new, I been stalked. Niggas flawed, niggas fake. But it's straight, nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. How you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Whole scratching, they messy. Bitches be broken, be petty. Hate on the low and it show cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up with my hustle, staying down, got me every penny. 19, have a penny, hurt me so bad, can't forget it. No, 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 can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it, really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming, they know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions, I'm flipping for show. I took some losses, it cost me chances, I took for this spot. I put it all in the pot, fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of K, I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith, so stay the fuck out my face. Lord, call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke, nah. Bitch, I spit dope, I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Fetching like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I been known, you were hating on the low. I been known, they were hating on the low. I been known, he was hating on the low. I been known, she was hating on the low.
I say one time for the one time, cause they hate now. Two time for the two time, cause they fake now. Three time for the three time, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight, you need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Jealousy and envy, got no boy hating on the low. But I been new, that they were hating on the low. I see through all that fake light window, but I'm D'd up from the feet up. I need pesos. I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up, and you still broke. My feet up, got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck nigga. You nigga know what it is, nigga. We getting real money over here, nigga. This Canada gang, nigga, on fresh stop. What?
Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke, nah. Bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Fetching like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I been known, you were hating on the low. I been known, they were hating on the low. I been known, he was hating on the low. I been known, she was hating on the low.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Real Talk with the new Miss Lovely Black and my awesome South co-host, Mo Benz. So what it do, Mo?
Yo, what's up, Black? What's up, people? What's up, world? I'm ready to get it in. We got the world famous chop up tonight. Let's do it. So roll something up, light something up, pour something up, come kick it with your people.
Yes, sir. We did have a slight change in our top five countries to it in. I sent it to your IG, Mo. I actually just sent it. I forgot.
I guess was able to check it out. But yeah, let me take it from the top to from the bottom to the top. All right. So number five, I guess this is the slight change. Last was talking about, our peoples up north. What's going on, Canada? Y'all drop down to number five. What's happening? What's really good, Canada? But still, shout out to Toronto and Vancouver and all the.
No, they moved up. Remember, they wasn't even Canada wasn't even in the top five because Africa was in the top five. So they moved up to the top five. They then came back.
Yeah, South Africa was in. Yeah, big shout out to Young Rich and African. Too. That's a Netflix show I wanted to talk about. But anyway, number five, Canada. Number four, we got the United Kingdom. You know what I'm saying? Our people's from across the pond, England. Number three, all right, this is a move up. We got the land down under, the continent known as Australia. And number two, you know, this is just our homies, man. This is our homies.
Switzerland,
man, Viking country, man. They mess with us. We mess with them. Big shout-outs, man. It's definitely appreciation and love, man. I love to see how y'all just keep checking in, keep seeing what we talking about each week. And then number one, we got the home team, the wonderful, the blemished United States of America. Big shout-out to all 50 states, all the fly cities. You know how we do, man, east to west, south to north. That's it, man. That's the top five.
Yes, sir. So we done had some shifts, but shout out to the top five countries that are tuning in and everybody else that tunes in. Tell a friend and another friend to tune in. April was our fifth year on the air, April 2022. So excited to be doing this with Mo. I couldn't imagine doing this with anybody else.
Likewise. You already know how we do.
Man, my week was, like, easy peasy this week, man. I have still been on my little health kick journey, right? You know, I went to the whole vegan, you know, or 99% vegan in October. And then I was eating that preserved meat, so I ended up gaining weight, right? That's how people, when they go and be like, I'm going to be vegan, and then they start eating those meat supplements, those vegan patties and vegan chicken, all of that stuff that has preservatives in it. It's going to make you gain weight, and especially if you are eating a lot of rice and potatoes. So I gained 30 pounds, and I was like, okay, got to get it off. It's a no-go. So I weigh in again on Tuesday. The first week that I went totally, like, working out every single day and no starch, I was 4 pounds down. So this is the end of week two come Tuesday, and I was juicing, so I incorporated juicing into my diets along with everything else that I've been doing. So instead of having, you know, multiple meals a day, generally it's one meal if I have that one in all juices. So I've been just vibing in my zone, chilling. So this is a laid-back week for me. How was your week?
Yeah, so my week was cool. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty quiet, which is nice. You know what I'm saying? Peacefully quiet. I'm calling this week peace of mind, right? Peace of mind. And like I told you, I've been reading The Black Man's Guide to Understanding the Black Woman. And the main thing she talks about in this book is how black men, they just want peace of mind. But a lot of times the black woman just is not understanding it and not bringing them peace of mind. And the ones that really give their black man peace of mind is the family just prospering, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I'm just peace of mind and just understanding.
What? So they said black women do not give their man peace of mind, and the black women that do give their man peace of mind, their families are thriving.
Are flourishing, yes, 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 yes. And I got to say I agree, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to keep dissecting this book, and once I finish, we're going to really dissect it and just go through it. We're going to definitely have some shows on this topic, man, but I've definitely been vibing to that. So, you know, big shout-outs to that book, man. It's a good book. Definitely, like, just a little just guide, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I'm privileged to be able to, you know, read this and kind of, you know, see beneath the surface with the black women. And then I'm almost finished rereading Trump's The Art of the Deal. Every time I read that book, it just gets me, like, focused and just pumped up, man. Like, that's my guy, man. I don't care what anybody says. I'll probably talk about it a little bit more in the world-famous chopper, but as far as the state of the union, where we are, where we're going as a country, this whole COVID situation. Yeah, so, you know, a little teaser for the world-famous chopper. But that's my week, you know what I'm saying? Basically peace of mind and just finding it and keeping it.
All right, all right. So as you guys know, this is the last Sunday in the month. So this is Mo Ben's World Famous Chop Up. He is going to go over topics and things that he's seen. So we rocking out with Mo. You got it.
Right. All right. So, all right. So this first topic, I want to see what you think about this too, Black. You know what I'm saying? You can chime in too. You know, especially if you now, you know, I always ask you too. Before I get into it, because I got some stuff, you know what I'm saying? But before I get into it, was there anything that you was kind of tripping on this past week? This offhand.
Man, so the baby back in the news, y'all. He done swung on his artist backstage. I don't know what they was arguing about, but the baby is just always in the news about some shit. Like,
yo,
I really don't get it.
Yo, you need to get into boxing, my G. Like, straight up, put them hands to get the paint off them hands because he putting his hands on somebody. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to tell you, he just shot somebody.
Damn.
That they said was trying to break in his house a couple weeks ago.
Damn,
dude.
Shit. Right.
Shorty a thug, it is what it is. So also, Megan Thee Stallion did an interview with Gayle King. Now,
yeah,
of course,
this is what
they do. This is how they try to railroad you.
Right, talk about
same thing they did with anybody else that they've tried to railroad. They get you to sit down with a big reporter and tell your side of the story. Now, of course, she has not, I have no idea. I haven't even seen anything about her doing, you know, interviews or anything like that. So now she done sat down with Gayle King to go over what's happening or what happened during, you know, her supposedly, allegedly being shot in the foot. But the gag is that they have a gag order on Tory Lanez. So he cannot talk about this at all.
Yeah. Well,
so
I guess it's okay, go ahead.
People know that, and you still sitting here saying, I believe her. Like, let me tell you, I don't believe this girl.
Damn, really?
It's not in my spirit. We done talked about this already.
Yeah, we're gonna talk
what
about
is the
more.
Point of having him gagged and you're still talking about it, right? The only time a person don't want you to talk because they're trying to push their point across or they're trying to prove that they are right, right? So that's not a fair debate. That's not a fair argument when he can't talk but you can.
Well,
obviously,
you know,
you got
something to hide. Well, my kind of take on it, because this is going to be like, you know, one of the topics. So, I wrote down a little note. So, yeah, I saw, you know, I was on Twitter and I saw it kind of come through in my. So, one that I'm always suspect about is Gayle King. It's something about her that I just, you know what I'm saying? Because I saw her with the R. Kelly interview. That really just rubbed me the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? From jump.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's talk about that. That's number one. But, you know what I'm saying? I do feel kind of
about goddamn time.
Sure. Oh, okay. Who the hustler? Who the hustler? Who the hustler on the second? You know what I'm saying? But you know, like Oprah. You know what I'm saying? I still have tremendous respect for Oprah. You know, just what she does. You know what I'm saying? I know I don't agree with all the things she does, but basically she put her homegirl in position, and that's why her homegirl got this gig on CBS. You know what I'm saying? But I don't like the homegirl, Gayle King, because it seemed like she always, anytime there's some controversy, especially when it has to do with a black male, she's ready to just take him down, man, and I'm not really feeling that. But this one is kind of interesting to me because, you know, like I said, I didn't kind of agree with the whole R. Kelly, the way she kind of railroaded him, even though maybe it's some, you know, maybe I'm just a fan of R. Kelly and I'm not seeing it from a person that's, you know, maybe went through the stuff that R. Kelly has been allegedly accused of, and I apologize for that, but at the same time, you know, I'm just seeing it from my perspective. But Meg, I definitely see it. I definitely kind of side with Meg. You know, me and Black, we've discussed this on numerous occasions, and the reason I fought Tory Lanez is because just as a, you know, I put myself in that person's shoes. I mean, obviously, you know what I'm saying, we all going to have our opinions and stuff like that. And we just, you know, it's in the news, so we're going to analyze it a little bit. But I just kind of put myself in his shoes. I'm like, yo, how did you let it escalate to that? Because I remember we talked about this on a world-famous chat, but before it even hit the fan, I remember you brought it up. You were saying that oh yeah, Tory Lanez and Meg and what's the Kardashian? Kylie Jenner. They was all kicking and having a good time, and then you know, then it went left. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dude, like how did you let it go so left where you would put yourself in predicament to, you know, possibly lose your music career, you know what I'm saying, because of this whole situation, or go to jail or whatever. Something could have really happened. So it just seems like he should have been play enough to see this escalating and just got out of it. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I kind of fought him on that from, you know, that's just my point of view. But, you know, looking at the little clip from the interview, it just seemed like Tory Lanez was on some gangster shit too, because, you know, from what Meg was saying, he was saying, all right, from the little clip I heard, Meg was like, she was like ready to go, basically. You know what I'm saying? And she said, you know.
No, we're not going to talk. Let's not get into details, wow, because at the end of the day, well, like on. I said, it's still one-sided, though. That's just still swaying the people that is listed that aren't following. The only side that we truly have.
So saying that Tory Lanez hasn't been able to say what he got to say, all you can talk about is what Meg said. So let's
what I'm trying to say. We're going to talk about. Once Tory Lanez can say his side, then we're going to talk about what Tory Lanez had to say. But I'm still going to analyze what Meg said because it's out there. You know what I'm saying? People are still going to draw their own opinions. Like, that's not their opinions at all. So what I'm just trying to say, so what she was saying for the people who didn't see the clip, so what she said from her point of view, this is from Meg's mouth, she said that she was ready to go. And all of a sudden, she was like, they was playing around or something, ready to go, blah, blah, blah. And then she's saying all of a sudden it escalated. Maybe she did get loud with him or something like that. Because he was kind of like, she said they was playing and then it escalated. So that tells me that she might have got out of pocket. You know what I'm saying? Probably maybe said something that she shouldn't have said or whatever. And then it escalated. Maybe something pissed him off. And then she said, from her point of view, I guess the car situation, she was in the car or something like that, and then like he was by the window side of the car, and all of a sudden he had a gun, and then he was like, dance, bitch, you know what I'm saying, on some like gangster shit, like, dance, bitch, like, and she like, you know, was just scared, cause she was like, oh, okay, he got this gun, I don't want, if it go off, or I guess it did go off, like if it could hit something important, or whatever, so she just said, you know, she never had somebody pull a gun out on her before. So she was scared, you know what I'm saying? And she said, you know, and that's basically, she left it at that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see the other clips.
All right.
I believe in letting people hang themselves. You see what I'm saying? Right,
yeah.
Now, as long as Tory Lanez ain't saying shit, the only person that can hang themselves is Nick. This
yeah,
particular conversation.
You're right, because listen,
this particular
right?
conversation
when the story first
broke. Hang herself. So it is what it
when
is.
The story
so at the end
first
of the motherfucking
broke.
Day, let the bitch talk. Let the bitch talk and let her hang her fuck herself. Because nigga, when it come down to the paperwork, when it come down to the when it come down to the forensics and shit, hey, the only motherfucker that got gun residue on their hands ain't Tory Lanez. So fuck it, it is what it is.
Exactly. So that's what like this is the same thing they did with R. Kelly. This is the same thing they did with Michael Jackson. This is the same thing they did with everybody. They put
a
gag
R. Kelly
on certain people.
You can only get hustled if you look into hustle. R. Kelly went on that fucking show looking to hustle, and he got hustled.
I'm talking about back then. I mean, the first time he was going through his trial, let me finish. Michael Jordan as well, right? So they have somebody where they can't talk, and then they just push the person that can just out to sway. Now, they do this because even though she may not win in court, they're trying to now block his money in public opinion, right? So if the public doesn't like him, then they're trying to stop his money. Could definitely be something going on behind the scenes where he's trying to leave a label or has left a label and got back on and it's doing good. This is what they do. So they try to demolish you and they put you in a trap where they're going to try to demolish you either way. It's a lose-lose for Tory. Even if he wins in court, he's still losing because now, you know, a lot of major people aren't going to want to deal with you on the public aspect. So now that they have Tory on a muzzle, she's jumping up talking about this every chance she gets. So it's not even about the court. Now it's about the public. You know, you have both of these situations. But when Meg first talked about it, she said she didn't see a gun. So somebody in her camp told her, well, you can't go with that story no more. So then they start putting out a bunch of positive stories about her. Then she come back, the story changed a little bit. And then it changed a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, at no point is she bringing up the fact of them having an argument and saying that somebody sleeping with somebody. It's a lot that's missing from it. So I just don't like it because they're putting a muzzle on him, and I already see what they're trying to do, you know. So fuck Meg. I don't even want to give her that much time. I gave that bitch a little bit too much motherfucking time around here. That'll be a negative.
You
gave
it whole 5 minutes, man.
God, it was one more thing that I wanted to talk before I dipped out of here.
You about to dip out, huh? Wow, all right.
Well, you know I dip out every this move is there, you know. I dip out every now by one.
Oh no, you need
question.
To talk about that fucking video you sent me, man. When we start doing this shit.
Oh, the video that was the
men, when we start having our fucking men hug another motherfucking man and shit and calling niggas die and bitch, man, come on, get the fuck out of here, boy. Man, let's talk about that bullshit. Faggot ass niggas. Then a nigga adolescent at that. Hugging and kissing on a little white boy, talking about this my bitch. Man, get the fuck out of here, nigga.
Oh, whoa.
I'm not gay because I consider myself a girl. Nigga, you's a man with a dick, nigga. Fuck wrong with you?
I even see this. I know Black, you sent me a comedian and somebody's talking about it, but go ahead, serve it up. I don't know nothing about it.
That hurt my heart. That hurt my fucking soul.
Why you cutting Smooth out? He going in. You...
I'm like, damn.
Man, that's ridiculous. Come on, Black. Man, what the fuck going on with that shit?
Okay. Oh, my God. So, Charles White is this black guy in out of Texas, and he's an OG. And he basically speaks on things from his point of view, like from what he considers to be a real ninja point of view. And... there's videos floating around from Easter Sunday with the Wades, Gabrielle and Dwayne Wade. And allegedly it is his oldest son and his oldest son date for the day, which is a girl. And then it was the Zaza, right, the boy in which they're allowing to be a girl. And she was kissing with
man.
A boy, which what looks like a boy, but it's transgender. So you really have Zaza, which is a boy that is trying to represent a female, and then you have Zaza's mate or date, which is seeming to be a boy, but looks like but is a female.
Oh shit! That felt like.
Whoa! Stop! Wait a minute! Hold on! What? So the white boy is a girl.
The white boy is really a girl.
What?
That's like Euphoria. That was like one of the.
Oh, fuck that! Fuck what Mo talking about. So let me get this straight. So you mean to tell me the white boy who I thought was a boy is actually a girl?
Right.
But the nigga who with the dick. Who says he's a girl is what the girl?
So in other words,
this bitch tried to make this nigga lose his dick, but he wants some pussy on the slick. Yeah, little nigga, I understand. Yeah. Hey.
Welcome to 2022.
Oh, man.
2022.
What? What the fuck? Man, hey, but I didn't even read the article. All I seen was a little sissy-ass little white boy. And I'm like, oh, man, this is bullshit. But now you're telling me the white... And I thought the white boy was standing like a little bro. I'm like, man, there's two faggots and shit. So you saying that the boy is actually a girl?
Yeah.
So the white
and the girl
boy
is actually a boy.
Nigga! Whoa! I'm going to go read this shit. Man... So,
I mean,
so in other words, he's trying to be straight, but he can't be straight in a gay ass house with fucking Gabrielle Union and his daddy.
And so that was Charles White's opinion, right? He's saying like, there's no way that this little boy is full fledged going into this situation, you know, wanting to be a girl. He had to have been touched. Those are my words. Those are Charles White's words, right? And that's, he has a video up that is spreading wild on YouTube, right? Somebody sent it to me. And I was just, he was like, they about to kick me off social media, but I'm tired of y'all sitting back acting like this shit is all right. He went off on D-Wade. Okay, he like, Gabby, like, you know, and everybody, which has a sad name. Like, you, that's the one weird black family, right? All of the other black families, you know, they low-key or whatever. Will Smith and Jada used to be the weird ones. And now it's Gabrielle and Wade. So they wanted the most attention. Like, I have no idea what's going on in that household, but it is very weird. And like they say, where is the little boy mama? Like, the little boy mama just sitting back just watching this shit unfold. Like,
well, all right, look, check. So, look, one of my...
Yeah, where is that nigga mama? Real nigga shit.
What's up? Yeah, that's a fact. I mean, yeah, you want to know what, you know, that would be interesting. What does she have to think about it? You know what I'm saying? Like... I'm surprised she ain't on getting interviewed by Gayle King. You know,
telling her. Yeah, and obviously, I don't think that she wholeheartedly agrees with it because I really don't see any interviews of her supporting it. And if people genuinely supported that, then I'm pretty sure that she would be stepping forward with it. So I just really don't think, like, the mom, I don't know. I think maybe she's going through it and hope that he would outgrow it, but I just don't feel like she is comfortable with how it's going. I don't feel like it, but maybe she may be putting on the front as though she is to people, but internally I don't feel like she's comfortable with how far this shit has really went. Like,
well, look,
it's crazy. But, you know, okay, one last thing. I want you to talk. So it brings me back to when they say, like, we have past lives. We've been here before. But we don't know what, you know, who we were, right? And it's like, you know, in a past life we could have been a man, and then this life we're a girl. Past life we could have been a girl, this life we're a man, right? And when we say, like, what the hell was going on or what has happened, right? I believe that these people that are coming back, because for every child born, it's an ancestor returned, right? These aren't new souls. These are generating souls. And I wonder, like, these people that go into this, you know, whole transgender thing and so on and so forth, were these people that were, you know, feminine energies, females in their past life, and they're just trying so hard to find their comfort zone in this life? And if that is the case, because cracking a code here, this is just me, you know, in deep thought. And if that is the case, it's like whatever they're putting in something that most people will have access to is, you know, pushing out the feminine energy in what's happening. See, a lot of times we sit back and we give, you know, the white man, oh, the white man doing this, the white man doing that, when all in all, it's not really them even having the capabilities to do as much as we give them credit for. Like, that's like lying on the devil. We give the devil credit for a whole lot of shit, right? And so what if, like, because, you know, like, these white folks, they have access to a whole lot more information than we do. They know how things are playing out. We are just waking up. We are just realizing that we are gods, the melanated people, the blacks and the Latinos. We're just realizing that we're actual gods, and that men are, that white people and so on are humans, right? And so now that we're waking up and we're stepping into this power, you know, I'm wondering, like, damn, did they already know that this was unfolding? So something could have been given to enhance what's already happening. Because I'm like, God, it's just so many people. And I want to look at it in both ways. I want to look at it as, like, these people to have such strong conviction, and it's happening so much now. I feel like maybe they came back as an opposite sex, and it's just in them, you know. They want to be what they used to be. I don't know. That's how my brain be thinking.
Oh, yeah, I'm not about to look them faggots breed like that. Nah, fuck that. Nigga, you's a man, you's a man. If you was a girl, you's a girl, Damon. Fuck that bullshit. Nigga, I got sons and daughters. I ain't got fucking Transformers. Give a fuck about your past life. Fuck your past life, nigga. You a man today, you gonna be a man tomorrow, motherfucker. I can't believe this shit. The white boy's a girl. Ain't this a bitch? So the nigga ain't gay. He's weird and he's confused and he's trying to be straight, but he got Gabrielle Union and his daddy making him. So he ain't sucking dick. He's trying to eat some pussy.
Man, come on, man.
Hey, bro, we need an intervention. Hey, we need a fucking intervention. We need to save this little dude from his own people. Where, hey, where am I at? Real shit. Can anybody look that bitch up? Like, who's the mama?
I'm not doing this shit with y'all tonight.
No, but who's the mama, though? Like, can anybody look up who the fucking mama is?
I remember she
yes, no?
You back in
maybe?
The
probably. Is the bitch still alive? What's going on? Talk to me. Nobody
yeah.
knows?
I don't know, but I seen her interview back in the day when Wade was like a rookie, you know what I'm saying? Like his first couple years in the league when he was still, you know, with her. But, you know, that's just crazy.
I don't even know what that means, man.
But, Black, you touched on a certain point, though. It could be something like that, man, because I just don't.
Well,
I
know you ain't about to give her a fucking reprieve or a fucking faggot. A faggot is a faggot. I don't give a fuck about your past life. It ain't hitting on a motherfucking thing, nigga. You was born a man, you gonna die, man. You was born a broad, you gonna die a broad. That bullshit. I ain't about to give nobody a fucking reprieve talking about I want to suck a dick. No, nigga. Fuck
yeah.
that.
Nah, look, I'm not condoning it. I'm just trying to.
Hey, I'm a daddy. Fuck that. Nope. I ain't condoning shit. I ain't giving a motherfucking reprieve and fuck your past life. Pussy ass, nigga.
All I'm saying is when they're young, man, like, yeah, I don't know if it's lack of parents, good parenting or whatever, but, you know, or whatever the case may be. Well, what do you think it is then, Smooth? I'm just saying, I know you got kids, and it seemed like your kids, from what you're telling us, it seemed like they all, well, they you know, I would assume they're still young, but, you know, at this point, you don't see nothing crazy. You say you don't want no Transformers. But
careful, nigga. You fucking
no,
wrong one.
I'm just trying to get some understanding. I'm just saying. So
I was nice enough to stay careful. You
right, fucking so what I'm trying to ask you is, so then what's your thoughts on it? Because Black was just trying to bring some type of understanding.
Black was giving a different viewpoint that's going to allow a motherfucking excuse to do that fuckery. You see what I'm saying? At the end of the day, any excuse a motherfucker can use, they're going to use. Like, oh, I was born this way. In my past life, I was a woman. My past life, 17 times ago, I had a pussy. Now I got a dick, but I want my vagina back. Shut up, dick-sucking ass nigga. Fuck out of here with that shit. You told me to put a dick in your booty.
Yeah, obviously you don't agree with it. I don't either as far as...
Clearly I don't agree with it. I have sons and daughters.
Okay, but I'm just saying, where does it come from, though? That's what I'm asking you.
What, faggots? You go ask a straight nigga where faggots come from?
Yeah, because, I mean, they're here.
I'm just
saying,
where they're at. Okay, nigga, if I had a fucking ball that told me where faggots came from, I would have been disintegrated, they asses. Nigga, I don't know where faggots come from. Faggots
okay,
been around since the dawn of time, nigga.
That's how we having this real talk conversation, because Black was trying to figure out, she was just spitballing, trying to...
Black
you know,
was giving an excuse of why these motherfuckers... Black was giving a new excuse. As a parent, right? As a fucking man who's raising men and children. I ain't done talking, nigga. Shut up. As a man who's raising men and training and raising fucking females, I can't afford that new sentimentality. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't afford that new fucking round, that new way of thinking. Like, no, nigga.
I'm not with it either, so don't, you know what I'm saying? I'm not with it. No,
I
ain't
with it. I said I can't afford it. I can't afford it, motherfucker. Like, well, this is the new wave. Hey, in a past life, I was a man, so guess what? In a past life, I was a woman. Like, no, I can't afford that shit. Nigga, I'm raising conquerors. I'm not raising survivors. Fuck that. I got to raise my kids to conquer this bullshit.
Facts.
This shit is deep. Nigga,
facts.
You got parents dressing their children up. It used to be parents used to get arrested for dressing their child up in the opposite sex. You see what I'm saying? Because they call them motherfucking pedophiles. Now all of a sudden they called heroes, nigga. These kids are under attack. I got a fifth grader. They got everything in my fifth grader class. She got a bitch who wants to be a nigga who got a new name. She got a nigga who wants to be a bitch who got a new name. She got bisexuals, gay motherfuckers, sapiosexuals, and a fifth grade, nigga.
That's crazy.
And a fifth grader.
So, that's wild. All right. So look. Because, look, I don't have kids, so that's why, I lean on you and Black to kind of tell me how it's coming. You know, I got my nephew or whatever, but knock on wood, My nephew seemed like he all good. You know what I'm saying? Like, we raised him right. You know what I'm saying? He's an upstanding young citizen, and I'm proud of him. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm just trying to get at, like, so I, you know, I just, you know, from just certain things that I might watch or read, I'm just trying to get some understanding of it. So it's funny that you said, not funny, but it's interesting that you said you're a fifth grader and, you know, you being a parent, you seeing what's in the classroom, how, like, you know, now the kids, if they want to be called a different name, they can be that can happen. You know what I'm saying? If they identify with the opposite sex. So this brings me to I kind of like a guilty pleasure I was watching, you know what I'm saying, as far as TV shows. Like, it's a show called Sex in the City, right? It used to come on way back in the day. And I told you I've been on my HBO shit, and they just came back. It's called Just Like That, Sex in the City is Back, some shit like that. But it's kind of interesting. So, I don't watch a couple episodes, and now that I don't watch a couple episodes, I'm like, all right, I might as well finish it out. But so for the people out there, you know what I'm saying, it's got Sex in the City has, like, three characters. They're women. So one is Carrie. She's, like, the main character. She's, like, a socialite, writer, or whatever. It's all in New York, too, right? And then the second character, her best friend, is, like, this character named Miranda.
It used to be four, now they got three.
Yeah, it used to be four. Yeah, the one, Samantha, she left. So then it was Miranda. She's, like, a lawyer, but now, you know, she kind of, like, got tired of being a lawyer. And, you know, she just, you know, she's married. She's got a son that's, like 20. And then there's another character named Charlotte, right? So Charlotte was, like, this little prissy character, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, she's, like, a socialite, too, you know what I'm saying? And or whatever. But the thing is, she's such a prissy, womanly, girly type of person that, you know what I'm saying, she was bringing up her, because she had an adopted daughter, Asian adopted daughter she adopted, and then her and her husband was finally able to have their own kid, right? But the kid that they have, this is the point I'm trying to get to, like, the Asian daughter that she adopted, she's just like another version of her, you know what I'm saying? She's like prissy and, like, you know, very womanly, you know what I'm saying? She's like a teenager now. And then she's got another daughter that's probably like about to be in middle school or whatever, but now she's going crazy because the daughter is starting to be on that same stuff we're talking about. The daughter is starting to see that she wants to be a guy, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I think the daughter's name is something, I can't think, but Robin or something like that, but she wants her name to be Rocco. So the chick Charlotte's like, what the fuck, you know what I'm saying? So she's just not understanding it, and then, you know, they had some PTA meeting and then a Zoom call, and it just comes out that the teacher is talking to her and her husband, and she's saying she called her Rocco, and she's like, wait, who's Rocco? And they're like, oh, you didn't know? And she's like, how, you know what I'm saying? So long story short, she was just saying how was it not accepted, or how was it not run by the parents for them to give the okay for them to call, you know, for their daughter to be called by a guy's name. So I don't know. It's just interesting, man. So it's just something that's just out here. It's like things have changed. And you see how, like, you know, media and TV shows, all this, it just seemed like in the last, like, 10 years, where this whole non-binary and, you know, especially kids, you know what I'm saying, how they're able to just switch up and not even get to the adult stage. And I guess the only thing I can think of is maybe because it's just we have such an open culture now, you know what I'm saying, where before it just seems like if you were – gay or bisexual or whatever, it was like really low key, you know what I'm saying? So now that this has come to the surface, it's just crazy, you know what I'm saying? Because before, you know, in certain neighborhoods, you could, especially if you was a guy, you know, females, you know, we always, you know, I'm gonna be honest, I love bisexual females, and we was talking about this, what, last week or 2 weeks ago, how, like, I think it seems like majority of women now seem to be that way, you know what I'm saying? I have no I know it sounds sexist or whatever, but it's just my perspective. So, hey, it is what it is. But from my perspective, a woman is feminine. You know what I'm saying? So if a woman want to be with another woman, you know, that's feminine energy. Like, that's, you know, it's cool. I don't really disagree with that. But when it comes to men, you know, men are men. That's why we had the hashtag make men men again, is because men is men. You know what I'm saying? Like, so when you get a man that just gets that feminine energy and all of a sudden, you know, he going both ways or just straight up gay, it's just like, whoa. So I guess in our community, especially like the black community, we've always, like, you know, said you know, F that energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we don't rock with that. You know what I'm saying? We trying to raise men here. We don't need none of that stuff. So they was always kicked out of the, you know, could never really come around because if that came out, you know, they was looked at with disrespect. So I guess the point I'm trying to get at is now that it's come to the forefront that it's more open and it's more open than ever, that, you know, you're seeing more and more people just come out and be this way. And now that, but the scary part about it is it's just kids at a young age, which is crazy. And then it's kind of like parents condoning this behavior by like dressing the kid up in it as a boy dressing up as a girl. Or I guess, you know, we kind of never really cared too much if it was, you know, remember the quote tomboy, you know, for girls that act like boys, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was accepted, but a lot of times the tomboys, because they was young, and, you know, when your kids is young at that age, you know, you just play, and sometimes you play rough, and that's just how it was. But a lot of girls, they grow out of it after that. You know, once they become a teenager and go through puberty, you know, they kind of get out of that stage. So we didn't really look at it as the way we look at it for a boy that identifies with being a girl. You know what I'm saying? That's just kind of, that was always just kind of like, what the, you know what I'm saying? But it's always been this way. Because I remember way back in the day, back in my East Cleveland days, you know what I'm saying, when I was a youth, I remember just seeing this dude around the way, like, down, we call it down the way. It was like my grandparents, they stayed in what's called down the way. You know what I'm saying? It's like Cleveland lingo. But I remember this dude. And me and my homeboy, we would be seeing this dude every so often walk to the corner store. And he was the first dude that we saw that was trying to do the switch over, try to become a female. You know what I'm saying? So he had the back, and this was like the 80s, man. So he had the injections or whatever to start the hormone injections where he's starting to grow breasts or whatever. And they used to call him Pretty Tony. Just some crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to say, but he was always like, looked at like, get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? Don't come around here or whatever. And I think he was a crackhead too, thing. So I don't know. But anyway, shit is crazy. Shit's been like this. And it's just getting crazier now because, like I said, it's more accepting and just seeing it with kids, man. So I don't know what to say about this, man. You know, the show Euphoria too. HBO has been really on the forefront of this kind of topic, man. Like I was, you know, referencing like how you was just saying, how the Dwayne Wade's son, who wants to be a girl, was with the his apparent boyfriend, who is actually a girl. You know what I'm saying? Which is just a whole mind fuck. Like, what the fuck? It's just like they basically are just switching roles, which is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? But the show Euphoria, it kind of like put it in perspective for me, because one of the main characters, I forget her name. But how I, you know, and for the minute while I was watching, I didn't really get the point that she played the part so well that I didn't really realize that I was watching a guy, but he was actually a girl. You know what I'm saying? So you, the way, because it was high school, you know what I'm saying? So you couldn't tell, I couldn't tell at first that she was a really a guy, but she had already kind of switched over and was a girl. I don't know. It's just crazy, man. So long story short, I'm tired of talking about this shit. I don't know, you know, where it's going to go and how this shit is going to, you know, future-wise and how it's going to keep going, man. But, you know, I just, you know, whatever makes you happy, I think that's do you. You know what I'm saying? I never knock that, but I just think when kids is kids, man, like, we got to kind of, like, let them stand themselves before you just allow them to take on that other role of the opposite sex. You know what I'm saying? So that's that. So we're going to move on from that topic. So another topic I wanted to get into, another person that was in the news, A$AP Rocky. You know what I'm saying? So A$AP Rocky, you know, was arrested apparently in November of last year. You know, he was accused of assaulting with a deadly weapon. You know what I'm saying? So basically he was supposedly connected to a shooting that happened in, I think, in L.A. or Cali somewhere. And basically he was in Barbados with the sexy Rihanna. She got her just belly out, man. That's just her vibe. But, you know, apparently they was in Barbados and he had came back. And I don't know if he got arrested at the airport or shortly after he was arrested at the airport. But, You know, he was he's out on bond now, so his bail was $550,000. So, you know, that's that Rihanna long money, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, so he's out, you know what I'm saying? So we'll see what happens with that. But basically, his court case is August 17th. So, you know, we'll see what happens with ASAP Rocky. But, you know, he's been interesting, man, like, because the other part that was interesting about him is, first, you know, he's got the baby coming with Rihanna, then how he was just arrested here. And then, of course, you know, was it back in 2019 when he was arrested in Sweden, and he spent like 2 months in jail in Sweden, and then Trump, you know, got him out of there. Big shout out to Trump. It's just interesting, man. It's interesting to see how, like, we in like a new era now, and it's like kind of like ASAP Rocky, I would say, like, maybe might be this generation's like Tupac in a way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Tupac was interesting in his own right, you know, in the 90s or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Had like some high profile relationships, and you know what I'm saying, it seemed like he was into some shit. I'm kind of getting that same energy from ASAP Rocky, and it's going to be interesting once they had a kid and stuff like that. But, you know, big shout out to ASAP, you know what I'm saying? I've been rocking to his latest album. I wasn't feeling it when it first came out, but now it's kind of growing on me. You know, a lot of times with my music, like, I like the vibe when somebody's really, like, going through some shit, you know what I'm saying? Then the music just resonates even more. But I've been rocking out to his third album. It's called Testing. I didn't really like it at first. But now I get it. It was kind of different, you know what I'm saying? But now, you know what I'm saying, I've been vibing on it. So, you know, big shout out to ASAP and Baby on the Way and all that. So the other thing I wanted to get into was the NBA playoffs, man. So big shout out to the NBA playoffs. Like, I've been zoning out, man. I've been watching a lot of games, man. It's been pretty good. So I'm going to get into the sports report a little bit, run it down a little bit of what I think. So first off, I'm going to go off my notes, and then, you know, pardon me if I go off on a tangent a little bit. But the NBA playoffs, man, so first off, I'm really disappointed with the Brooklyn Nets. Man, I thought they were going to have a pretty decent season, you know what I'm saying, going into the season. You know, of course, going into the season, they had supposedly, I don't even like to say big three. That's such a cliche word as far as NBA. But, you know, they had their big three going into the season, which was Kyrie Irving, KD, you know what I'm saying, Kevin Durant, and then James Harden, you know what I'm saying. But the part that was always suspect to me a little bit was Steve Nash. And I don't really like to talk privilege too much on this show, you know what I'm saying, because I'm like, hey, man, you know, I always try to put myself in all different types of positions. Like, hey, if I was, you know, if I got some privilege to me, I'm going to take advantage of that shit too, you know what I'm saying. The part I don't respect is when somebody gives you some privilege and you fuck it up, you know what I'm saying? But, hey, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. It's nature, you know what I'm saying? So the strong is going to eat the weak, and then the strong is going to put certain people in positions to keep it going, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, I say that to say this. Steve Nash from, you know, the early 2000s, because the MVP race in basketball, right, was a coveted award, you know what I'm saying, until it got tainted with Steve Nash a little bit. So, you know, the MVP, and then we can go back to the 80s, 90s or whatever. You know, of course you've always had, you know, the stars be your MVPs, you know, Magic Johnson, I'm sure he's got a couple MVPs, Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And then, you know, Michael Jordan really came into prominence, you know, every year he was in the league, that's probably what MVP. But, you know, in the 90s, they spread it out. You know, Charles Barkley won it 1 year. Karl Malone won it. You know what I'm saying? David Robinson. So even if Michael Jordan didn't win it, you know, those are names that you knew. So you was just like, all right, you know, I can respect that. I can rock with that. You know what I'm saying? But then Steve Nash, and then in the early 2000s, of course, you know, he won back-to-back MVPs. And the first MVP, I give it to him. You know what I'm saying? The Phoenix Suns. They had a vibe, you know what I'm saying? Mike D'Antoni had coached their team. And the Phoenix Suns, you know, that's back when they had Sean Marion, Amari Stoudemire. Steve Nash was basically quarterback. He was the point guard. So they was bringing back Showtime basketball. Big shout-out to Winning Time. That's the Magic Johnson show, basically, that's on HBO right now. I've been vibing to that. But if you know anything about the old NBA, '80s NBA, Showtime, and why that show is popular, Winning Time, is because Magic, you know, they created, you know, they had this wave in LA at the time, basketball called Showtime, which is the way they play. So anyway, long story short, Steve Nash kind of cultivated that for the early 2000s with the Phoenix Suns. That's how he won his first MVP. But then they OD'd and gave Steve Nash back-to-back MVPs, took one from Shaq. Shaq should have definitely got that MVP. So that kind of pissed me off right there. And, you know, and then now the MVP race is always a little suspect. Everybody's kind of looking at it. Because now, fast forward, Jokic, which is Nikola Jokic. Hopefully I'm pronouncing it right. I don't think so. But he's with the Denver Nuggets. They're playing the Golden State Warriors right now. They're probably about to get beat the next game, but they just, you know, this is taped on Sunday, but they just won their first game of the series. Anyway, long story short, Jokic, who's another white player, and I'm not trying to make a – I don't really talk race and get into that too much, you know what I'm saying, but when I start to see this kind of like privilege kind of take effect and things that I really rock with as far as culture, I got to say something. So Jokic will probably get the MVP this year, back-to-back, just like how Steve Nash got the MVP. And that shit is going to piss me off. Even though I really respect Jokic, man. I think Jokic is a good player, man. Like, I really watched his game that they played today, man. Like, he's legit. But he did win the MVP last year. And Embiid, you know, big shout-out to Joel Embiid, who's, you know, was hurt early in his career, putting up big numbers this year. Was just had his team in position. Philly looks good. I'm gonna get into my predictions for the finals a little bit later on in the chop up. But anyway, long story short, Embiid should win the MVP. I think he just did. You know, he had the Ben Simmons drama from last year that carried on to this year. I'm gonna talk about Ben Simmons a little bit in a minute. And then you know, James Harden, he got traded to them, and they're still in position. You know what I'm saying? And they look like they're gonna be a force. Anyway, Embiid, I thought, did everything he could to win the MVP this year, even though he probably should dominate a little bit more in the post, but he's got a sweet jump shot. So, you know, he falls in love with that a little bit. But anyway, I say that to say this. So Steve Nash, getting back to him, he started this whole bullshit when he won the back-to-back MVP, and that kind of fucked up the whole MVP kind of thing a little bit. It lost his credibility. And now Steve Nash, as a coach, man, he should be fired because there's no way the Brooklyn Nets should be about to get swept by the Boston Celtics. Now, big shout-out to Boston, the Celtics, you know what I'm saying? I really like what they're doing this year. Big shout-out to Marcus Smart. You know, he took Defensive Player of the Year. I like the way he plays, you know what I'm saying? Just gritty defense, you know what I'm saying? You got Jaylen Brown, and then you got Jason Tatum, who's really coming to their own. And I really like the coach. And this is what I love to see. I love to see the chess match of the NBA playoffs. Ayan Udoka, that's Nia Long's husband, man. I always shout her out when I talk about him because I just like them as a couple. I like to see just black prominence, you know what I'm saying, on that level doing big things, man. I love to see just beautiful black couples.
That just goes to show you, I ain't on Nia Long with that.
So she's married to Ayan Udoka, and they're about to, it looks like they're in good position to sweep the Brooklyn Nets. But anyway, so getting to Steve Nash is just being outclassed, outcoached. Now, Ayan Udoka, he was an assistant under Greg Popovich for many years. And then I think he was actually an assistant under Steve Nash last year with the Brooklyn Nets. So he just knows them. But he's outclassing Steve Nash, like, straight up. And this is his first coaching job. And Steve Nash, this is, I think, his second year as the Brooklyn Nets head coach. And it's just outclassing. And it just goes to show that Steve Nash got hired with no – he's never been a coach. He's only, you know, been an NBA player. I mean, granted, he you know, probably will be a Hall of Famer. Two-time MVP, even though the second time was suspect. But no coaching experience. How does he become coach? You know what I'm saying? When it was probably a bunch of other black candidates that would have been better qualified to become coach. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm happy that Ayan Udoka got the job in Boston and he's just outclassing Steve Nash. So the shit that pisses me off, there's no adjustments. And you know what? I'm not even mad. You know what I'm saying? Big shout out to Brooklyn, man. That's my borough. That's where I stay. Like I said, the arena's right up the street from me. But, you know, they don't deserve it, man. Like, they've just been a noisy team from the beginning of the year, man. From Kyrie Irving with the whole unvaccinated type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Look, I'm glad he's standing up for what he believes in. Good, fine. But then you got to produce, man. And you ain't producing. You're about to get freaking swept in the first round. So all that shit is going to go for naught. Now, if you do this and you still winning, then, okay, people are going to really support you even more. But anyway, so that's number one. Number two, Kevin Durant, I'm giving him a slight pass because he's been a constant, you know what I'm saying? I really rock with Kevin Durant's game or whatever, even though this series, he's getting exposed a little bit because Boston, they're playing that 90s physical basketball, which I love, you know what I'm saying? That's the shit I like, you know what I'm saying? Physical, intense playoff basketball, and that's what they're doing. And you know, Kevin Durant, for as good as he is, man, is nice as that jumper can be, man. He's a slim dude, and they're D'ing him up, and it's great to see. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, what you gonna do? You know what I'm saying? And then they got Ben Simmons. Come on, man, Ben Simmons, this dude stealing money right now. This is why, I mean, right now the NBA playoffs is flourishing, but this is why the NBA season has been bullshit, and why the NFL season, playoffs, whatever you want to make, is at the top. Because I hate to say it, but, you know what I'm saying, the way it is in basketball, you got so many guaranteed contracts that a lot of players just, they don't care. You know what I'm saying? That's why I love the playoff basketball, because now you have to care. Because if you don't care, you're going to get exposed. And that's exactly what's happening with Ben Simmons. Clearly doesn't care. Stealing money. Like I say, he hasn't played the whole season. And, dude, like, they need you right now, and you haven't played. But anyway, I still give the most blame to Steve Nash for all this, because you got Blake Griffin, you got LaMarcus Aldridge on the bench, didn't make any adjustments, and like I said, now you guys are about to go home probably next And it shit pissing me off, because, you know, I was like, you know, the Brooklyn game, like, people came out, you know, I was seeing Mary J. was in the front row, you know what I'm saying? You got Mary J. representing, you know, and she had to see the little. Remember the light skinned chick from the One More Chance video when Puff is in the jacuzzi and he's pouring like Moet, the little chick. I think that's his baby mother's.
But anyway, come on, Charlie Baltimore.
Nah. If you remember the One More Chance video way back in the day, One More Chance, Biggie's One More Chance video.
Yeah, it was Charlie Baltimore was in the video.
But I know who Charlie, but this ain't who I'm talking about. But basically, Puff is in the jacuzzi, and he's like pouring like some Moet, and that's his first baby mother. She's like actually, that's like his first baby mother. But anyway, she's like a stylist or whatever. But she was in the front row with Mary J. at the Brooklyn game. So it was like, you know, they came out, you know, Brooklyn was supporting, you know what I'm saying? And New York was there, and then for them to lay an egg and get beat like that, man, it's trash, man. But anyway, it all starts with Steve Nash. He's got to get fired. He's not qualified to be the coach. And, you know, and then they got to figure out what's going to happen with Ben Simmons next year. And why did you bring in LaMarcus Aldridge? I used to talk about him last year. Then he had his heart ailment, came back, and you're not even playing him. And then, like I said, Blake Griffin is getting, and then they're about to lose. Anyway, that's enough of that. But Steve Nash should be fired. Switching gears, another series has got me on point. Like I said, I'm running down this NBA talk because NBA is popping right now. Big shout out to the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves. You got Ja Morant, you know what I'm saying? Young cat. Kind of got like a weird, like, little hairstyle. Like, my wife was watching it. You know, my wife's not a big NBA fan, you know what I'm saying? She don't really rock with the NBA. She just be looking at who's at the game and what they wearing and shit like that, right? So, if you've seen Ja Morant, and if you watch basketball, I know you don't really watch it like that smooth, but Ja Morant, to put you on, is like this generation's Allen Iverson. You know what I'm saying? That's how good he's electrifying. Like, this is second year in the league, doing big things. Made the playoffs last year, making some noise this year. But, you know, the way how, you know, AI back in the day, you know, he had his braids and he had his tattoos and, you know what I'm saying, kind of, you know, that was his swag or whatever. And then, you know, the NBA took notice, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, a lot of people copied his swag. This generation guy is like Ja Morant, but instead of the braids, he's got like dreads, but then he's got like different colors. It look like it might be a pink dread in there, like a yellow dread, something crazy. He got like a couple of cuts in his eyebrows. He got a lot of tattoos, but, you know, his face a little feminine looking, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, Maya's like, what the fuck's up with this guy? But, you know, it's just new wave, man. This is how these kids be nowadays. But I don't think he's gay or nothing like that. It's just, that's just his hairstyle. You know what I'm saying? That's some like Lil Uzi type shit. But anyway, so he's doing his thing against, you know, Karl Anthony Towns. Big shout out to Karl Anthony Towns. He's been making some bonehead plays in the playoffs, but I'm a fan, man. He won the 3-point shootout. Karl Anthony Towns, they call him the big cat. He's like 6'10", 6'11", big man, but he can shoot. Then they got this young kid, Anthony Edwards, out of Atlanta. I really like
him. Man, that was Faith Evans, man.
What? Nah. That was Faith
Evans. I'm watching the video now.
Of them at the on the court side?
I'm talking about One More Chance with Biggie.
Oh. Nah. All right. It might be the Big Papa video. I think I'm getting it wrong. The Big Papa video.
Oh, okay. So I'm like, man, this nigga.
Yeah,
this nigga
I fucked up. My bad.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
Yeah, the Big Papa video. When he's saying, when, I think Puff was like, with, you and your crew can get with my crew, and then we can meet the crew, whatever. That line. It's, in the video, he's pouring some more wet. But she was a cutie back then. She now, you know, age and kids and, you know, aged a little bit, but back in the day she was fine. But anyway,
I ain't about to look at all these fucking videos.
She was at the game. But anyway, that was the Brooklyn shit. But I'm on my Grizzlies Timberwolves. But anyway, so Anthony Edwards doing his thing. They got D'Angelo Russell there. Pat Beverly's been like a nice addition. He was with the Clippers last year. It's been bringing him a lot of energy. But anyway, that series is tied 2-2. That can kind of go either way. You know what I'm saying? So I just, you know, it's just good to see two young teams, man, coming up in the Western Conference. And then before we talk boxing real quick, because I want to see what you thought about that whole boxing match yesterday. I want to get your views on that, Smooth. But before I get to that, big shout out to the Golden State Warriors. Like I said, I was talking about who's probably going to be the eventual MVP probably tomorrow or the next couple of days. The NBA was probably waiting for him to win a game because it would look bad if he would have got swept. And I was just telling you how Joel Embiid should be MVP and then they give it to Jokic and he didn't really put up a good showing in the playoffs. That would have just been a bad look. So what happened is, once again, we're taping this show on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? We live and direct every Sunday night, you know, 9 p.m., 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. But for anybody that's catching this on the later, you know, not live, but just, you know, catching it just because, you know, you wanted to check out the show, this show is taped on Sunday. But anyway, so Golden State, they were up 3-0, and they was in position to sweep, like I said, Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. But Denver, they played a good game, and they got hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, they played. You know what I'm saying? They really showed and improved. Jokic had a good game. But Golden State, man, they looking like they're a real problem this year. And it's good to see, man, like, straight up. They're like the best basketball team I've seen. My favorite all-time basketball team, as far as just top to bottom, just I just thought this team was the best team that I've seen, was the Bad Boy Pistons, the 89-90 Bad Boy Pistons, the one that won back-to-back with Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars, Bill Laimbeer, you know, young Dennis Rodman, coached by Chuck Daly. That was a squad, and they played rough, rugged basketball. But a lot of people call Golden State like the finesse version of that because they've had a core team similar to that. Even though, you know, Detroit, you know, they was going back and forth in the 80s with, you know, the Lakers and or Boston Celtics and the Lakers and whatever. They came to prominence and they won their back-to-back championships and then they kind of just disintegrated. Whereas Golden State Warriors, you know, they dominated. You know, Kevin Durant left, shit hit the fan, and then they kind of had to rebuild. You know, Klay Thompson was hurt the last two seasons, but now they're coming back together. And it's beautiful to see, man, because it's great basketball. But anyway, Golden State Warriors, coached by Steve Kerr, and he's the opposite of Steve Nash. Now, Steve Kerr, that's my guy right there. Steve Kerr, when I talk about privilege, like I don't even want to call it privilege because he basically wasn't probably, you know, could have got cut back in the day, you know what I'm saying? Because he wasn't a top-notch player, but he made the most of his talent. And every team Steve Kerr was on was a winner. He was a winner with the Bulls, with you know, MJ, you know what I'm saying, and Pippen back in the day, coached by Phil Jackson. And then, you know, he went to the Spurs organization and won again with Popovich and Tim Duncan and Ginobili and, you know, the crew there, you know what I'm saying? Tony Parker, you know what I'm saying? The old school San Antonio squad. But and then, you know, he became an executive. You know what I'm saying? He was the GM of Phoenix, the Phoenix Suns. Then he became a commentator. He was doing a play-by-play, and now then he became the coach. But he's done a phenomenal job as far as coaching. But big shout out to Golden State. You know, of course you got Klay Thompson, who's finally back from his injury. You got Draymond Green, who's just like. The reason Draymond Green is like a chip off because he's straight Detroit dude, man. So he's like that Detroit Pistons, just, you know what I'm saying? He's still got that same fire and the way the Bad Boys Pistons play, but he's just a modern-day version, you know what I'm saying? Then, of course, you got Steph Curry, who's just lights out, you know, as far as shooting. But then you got this new kid, too, who's coming up named Jordan Poole, who they just drafted and developed, man. So just great basketball, man. They've been playing really good, man. So, you know, so really quickly, I ain't going to bore people with too much NBA talk. I'll probably come back to it. But my prediction for the finals, right, is going to be, I think when it all shapes up, if you give me who's going to be in the finals, I'm going to take the Philadelphia 76ers. Like I said, I'm really big on Joel Embiid. I think he is the real MVP. And then James Harden, man. I think James Harden, you know, is really going to step up this year in the playoffs, help out Embiid. And I just think they got a nice squad in Philly, coached by Doc Rivers. I think they make the finals for the East. And I think the West, man, I think it's going to be Golden State. You know, I think Golden State makes it. And the reason why, a lot of people was big on last year's matchup, the Phoenix Suns. But Phoenix, you know, shout out to them. They're playing. They're about to play tonight. New Orleans, they've been playing. Big shout out to your New Orleans Pelicans. I don't know if you've been, you know, they've been making a little noise. Big shout out to Brandon Ingram. He's a good player, man, for New Orleans, man. They got him for the Lakers, but he's developing. He's going to be something special for New Orleans, man. He's got that kind of Kevin Durant, you know, real slim, but he can hoop. And then you guys got my guy from Portland. I can't think of his name. The dude that used to hoop with Dame Lillard. But great shooter, man. The guy that came over from Portland, I can't think of his name right now. But they're going to probably lose to Phoenix, even though Phoenix, the reason why I'm not predicting Phoenix to go to the championship is because Devin Booker just got hurt. He's going to be out for like 3 to 4 weeks. You know what I'm saying? That's going to hurt. But we're going to see CP3, Chris Paul's been stepping up. But he's going to have to step up a lot, man. And you know what I'm saying? He's an older player. He can still do it. But I think now he's going to kind of overcompensate and trying to, you know, score more because Devin Booker's not there. And I think, you know, he can kind of, you know, get tired or hopefully he doesn't get hurt. But, you know, that could happen. And then in the other team in the East that, you know, a big-time favorite is the Milwaukee Bucks. Big shout-out to Giannis. But Chris Middleton just got hurt. So I don't know how that's going to shape up. So that's why I definitely got Philly and Golden State going to the finals. So we'll see how that happens. So now, switching gears to a sport that I know you dig, and I don't know too much of what happened, but so Smooth, man, did you get a chance to see that Tyson Fury fight?
Six round knockout,
right? So Tyson Fury, he's just a guy, man, huh?
Tyson Fury has always been a guy. Everybody forgot that Tyson Fury is the man who beat the man. You see what I'm saying? Like, before the Deontay Wilders and the A.J. Johnsons, there's only one lineal champion, and that's Tyson Fury. You see what I'm saying? Tyson Fury is the one who beat the man with the belts. You see what I'm saying? It just so happened that once he won the belt, he went crazy. And he just stripped him of all the fucking belts within a matter of, you know what I'm saying, months after winning the championship. So when a motherfucker say, it looks like he's the man. Well, he's always been the man. You see what I'm saying? Deontay Wilder had to prove himself. A.J. Johnson has to prove himself, but A.J. Johnson keeps, you know, getting knocked out, keep losing the belt. Deontay Wilder had a WBC belt. You see what I'm saying? But Deontay Wilder was the only one that dared to be great as far as fighting Tyson Fury, because Tyson Fury was the lineal champ. Y'all can have all the fucking belts you want, but you're still not the champ. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah, you'll be the WBC champ, the WBA, the IBF, but you'll never be the world heavyweight champ if you don't have the lineal championship.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but yeah, he knocked out Dillian White. Dillian White has been the number one, the mandatory WBC fucking contender for like 4 or 5 years, man. And he finally got the shot and got knocked
out. Wow. Damn.
Yo, so, and what about, it was a boxing match, what is it, like a
week ago? Talking about Errol Smith and Ugas a week before that.
Yeah, so how was that one? Thanks.
Oh, that was gangster right there. That was a fucking fight card for a decade right there, man. It was really number knockouts and ass whoops, man. It was beautiful.
Wow. So he knocked him out, what was it, 11th round or something like that, or no?
You're talking about Spence and Ugas?
Yeah, Errol Spence.
That was like 10th round. They stopped the fight. Around 4, Errol Spence had fractured Ugas' orbital bone.
Oh,
and shit just went downhill from there.
Yeah, it was.
If you're not a violent person, that wasn't a fight to watch. You feel what I'm saying? Because Errol was out for blood.
Yeah, nah. People were telling me how gangster that fight was. I'm gonna have to check that shit out.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, he took him.
He didn't let up on that motherfucker. He was like, bitch, you gonna get through the work, nigga.
Yeah, I'm hearing about it. And Spencer's undefeated.
Yeah, Spencer's on the seat. Spencer's always been the boogeyman. Spencer's always been the boogeyman since he was a child, since he was like a teenager and shit like that. If anybody ever watched, like the motherfuckers that follow amateur boxing, the motherfuckers that follow like the little kids and shit coming up, all the top boxers was always talking about Errol Spence. You see what I'm saying? Like who's the next up and coming boxer? They was talking about that motherfucker 10 years ago.
He was in a car accident. It kind of derailed him a little bit.
He was in a fucking catastrophe. That was in a car accident. That was a war zone. He got flipped. He got thrown out the car. I thought nigga was dead. I said, God damn, bitch, you ain't supposed to be alive for that shit.
Okay.
I at least thought the nigga was going to have like PTSD or some shit.
Yeah, you know, that's a good
nigga run up on him and hit and honk their horn. Nigga probably shit on himself.
Shit. All right,
seems like boxing is in a good space. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Got some names. So right now, as far as the biggest names in boxing, would you say those are the two biggest names right now? Errol Spence and Tyson Fury?
Fuck no. The biggest names in boxing will always be Canelo.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Because of his following. So you have Canelo, but the biggest fight that people want to see is Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford.
Ooh.
You see what I'm saying?
What weight class is Errol Spence and Tyson Crawford? Terrence Crawford.
Terrence Crawford, 147.
That's lightweight, right?
Welterweight. 147.
Welterweight. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. What you say?
Yeah. So, the number one motherfucker that's popular is certainly going to be Canelo. Like, you just can't beat that nigga's popularity. And right now, he's about to fight for the light heavyweight championship. You see what I'm saying? So, like, the motherfucker's come a long way from the time when he fought fucking
Triple G.
Floyd Mayweather at 147. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's come a long way.
Yeah.
The most popular motherfucker is Canelo, and then of course you got the Errol Spence's, the Javante Davis's. You see what I'm saying? Not Terrence Crawford. Now Terrence Crawford is, if you watch boxing, you don't know who Terrence Crawford is, but if you don't, then you don't know who the fucking name is.
No, I know who he is.
So like
Yeah, right. He's nice too. He's undefeated too, right?
Yeah. He's undefeated, former undisputed at 135 pounds.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's been nice. I don't know why.
No, 140 pounds.
So what you think is holding this, that match up? Because that seemed like, yeah, that's the one right there. Errol Spence Jr. versus...
Well, that's the fight that's coming up next.
Okay, all right.
The fight that's coming up next for Undisputed at 147. You see what I'm saying? Right now, Errol Spence has three belts. Terrence Crawford has the last one. You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So that fight is going to happen in 2022 sometime this year. And then after that, man, they're talking like that's going to be Hagler Hearns.
I can see that being because the styles are similar to that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I can see that shit. All right, so yeah, so boxing is in a good place. So now switching gears, so I got a nice movie review, right? I'm not music review. So big shout out to the album I've been vibing to this week. I got to shout out my guy Pusha T. So Pusha T dropped this Almost Dry, and the reason why I like this album too, you know what I'm saying? I'm a big Pusha T fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really wasn't a big Clips fan. I love Grinding. Grinding is classic. But I didn't really like him as a group for some reason. You know what I'm saying? But once he went solo, Pusha T's been coming like that. In that class, because I put Pusha T, and I think he's at the head of the class, but I put him in that Jadakiss, Fabulous, you know what I'm saying, like kind of class or whatever, you know what I'm saying, that type. And to me, like, if I had a choice to listen to some Jadakiss, you know, album-wise, like Jadakiss or Fab or Pusha T, I'm a rock with Pusha T, you know what I'm saying? And the reason why I like this album, too, the last album was very dope. What was that shit called, man? The joint, it was 7 tracks, but it was a joint that produced. Let me see if I can pull it up. But, yeah, Pusha T's last album was definitely just to me, it just put him in a different class, you know what I'm saying? Showed him what he could really do, you know what I'm saying? The last joint, Daytona, that's my joint. So that was the joint that Kanye did when Kanye was in Wisconsin. Well, no, not Wisconsin, Wyoming, doing all those, you know, different albums or whatever when Kanye was in his zone. You know, he had that album. He had the joint with him and Kid Cudi, the Kid See Ghost. He had the Teyana Taylor. He had the Nas album that put Nas back on his trajectory where Nas is back at the, you know what I'm saying, back at the top, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, Daytona was my shit. And that was totally produced by Ye. And that was just, because to me, you know, people love Kanye just for being Kanye, but to me, the reason why I'm a fan of Kanye, first and foremost, is as a producer. I mean, I know he's a pretty good rapper, you know what I'm saying, now. And then, of course, you know, his fashion line and all this stuff. So he's a guy of many trades. But to me, what really made me a fan of Kanye first is the way he produces, you know what I'm saying, as far as making tracks and beats. And Daytona, to me, just showcased, okay, he still got it. You know, he's still sharp. But what's nice about this this new Pusha T album is because, you know, the people who put Pusha T on, the person that put Pusha T on was actually Pharrell. And, you know, and lately, you know, Pharrell gets his respect or whatever, but lately, you know, Pharrell's been quiet, you know what I'm saying, really hasn't had nothing out, really, you know, noteworthy, you know, hits lately. You know, he had that I'm Happy that was like a couple years ago, you know what I'm saying, and he's got played out. But anyway, what's dope about this new Pusha T album is it's a joint production. It's like they taking turns, and Pusha T, like, he's getting the best of both, you know what I'm saying? So he just, and I like how, I love the way Pusha T just played his position. You know, got on with Pharrell. You know, Pharrell's definitely a legendary producer in his own right. And then, you know, Kanye, you know what I'm saying? So he's getting the best of both. He's got the best Pharrell tracks, and he's got the best Kanye tracks. And then, you know, he's, and then, you know, what Pusha T likes to call himself is like, he kind of made his own niche. You know, it's always been there, but he kind of really carved it out. It's called, like, cocaine rap. You know what I'm saying? So if you really listen to Pusha T, it's all about that coke, you know what I'm saying, and how to hustle it, how to make it work for you. And, you know, a lot of people get turned off by it. I rock with that energy because it's just a hustle. You know what I'm saying? So whatever you're doing, you know what I'm saying, just, you know what I'm saying, that's just your hustle. I mean, we just talked about cocaine, but you can take that same attribute to the hustling and flipping it and making this money. To whatever you're doing, whatever industry you're in. So that's what I really like about it. But, of course, when you listen to these cocaine rappers, You know, you got Benny the Butcher, you know, out of Griselda. He's another one. You know, Jay-Z had his wave when he was, you know, making the In My Lifetime albums. And then, of course, Jeezy. When Jeezy dropped, Hustle 101 or whatever with the snowman thing on there. So that's all in that cocaine rap kind of category. But to me, I think Pusha T might be the best at it. You know what I'm saying? To be honest with you, I'm a big Pusha T fan. I like his wave. But, you know, he's got Jay-Z on there, speaking of Jay-Z. And, you know, Jay-Z, like I said, to me, you know, I always call Jay-Z like he's on this, it's like Michael Jordan with the Wizards. You know what I'm saying? And that's not to be disrespectful. When I say that Jay-Z like Michael Jordan with the Wizards, I mean, you know, he's not in his prime no more, making like when Michael Jordan was winning championships with the Bulls. He's more of a, you know, he's a businessman, like totally. Through and through. He's more of a businessman than a rapper now. You know what I'm saying? But I love the way he picks his spots. That's the way Michael Jordan was picking his spot to, you know, eventually become the owner of the Hornets. You know, he's just in a different category now. And then Michael Jordan's all about selling his shoes, and his shoes are still selling, like you know, like he's still playing. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so you got Jay-Z on there, and Jay-Z it's a dope rhyme, you know what I'm saying? And it's not, I don't think Jay-Z can do a whole album of this, but, you know, he picked his spots, gets with the right people, you know, like, all right, Pusha T, you know, Pusha T's hot in these streets right now. Let me drop a verse. But basically, joined with Jay-Z, it's got, and it's produced by Pharrell, so it's giving me that Jay-Z, when Jay-Z was really messing with Pharrell, too, I think on that, what was that, the Blueprint 2, where Pharrell did a lot of production, and I had, like, some Kanye and Pharrell on there, too, so this is, like, a version of that. But anyway, the Push TJZ joint, it's called Neck and Wrist. And then, you know, Jay-Z's always going to come with some nice, you know, nice lines on there. And one of the lines that I kind of gravitated towards, he talks about that, you know, if Biggie was alive, people say if Biggie was alive, I wouldn't be where I'm at. And then he said if Biggie was alive, you guys would have got the commission, which was the commission album I think they were working on, but never came to fruition because, you know, Biggie, of course, passed. But anyway, that's dope. He's got a track on there with Jay-Z that's fly. Joined on there with Lil Uzi. Big shout out to Lil Uzi. You know, he's definitely always putting on for Philly. I'm a big fan of Lil Uzi, man. Like, as far as the new wave guys, Lil Uzi is definitely consistent. And then he's got his brother Malice on the track. You know what I'm saying? His brother Malice, they formed the Clips or whatever. I'm not a big fan of that song with him and Malice. Like, there's only two songs on there that I kind of, like, skip. Which is the last song? That's the one with Malice, and it's called "I Pray for You." You know, it's all right. It's the last track on here. And then I don't really like Rock and Roll, and I'm gonna tell you that. So Rock and Roll is track 7, and that's got Kid Cudi. And Kid Cudi was in the news too. I'm gonna talk about this a little bit. We got about 7 minutes left in the chop up. But Kid Cudi was tweeting like, "Oh, I guess when this album was about to drop, and the track list leaked." But everybody's like, oh, you know, we got the song with Cudi and Pusha T's got a song with Cudi and Kanye West. And then Cudi tweets out, oh, you know, this is going to be the last song, the last time you hear me with Kanye. Me and him aren't friends anymore, you know, so this is it. And I'm like, yo, I get it, probably. I think the reason why they're not friends no more is because Cudi been on that bullshit. The bullshit we was talking about earlier on in the show, this whole non-binary bullshit. You know what I'm saying? I was a huge fan of Cudi. I thought Cudi was really putting on, representing for Cleveland. And then he put that dress on Saturday Night Live, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You need me to do this, paint his nails and all this shit. And I just think Ye just don't want that energy. You know what I'm saying? I think Kanye's looking at it like, dude, I got a father-in-law that's on that bullshit. I can't really rock with that. So I think that's probably why they fell out. But anyway, I don't even like the song anyway. I really can't even stomach Cudi no more. You know what I'm saying? As far as, and it's sad, man, because I really like him. You know, and but that just goes to show, man. Don't let these people pump you up, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't. You know what I mean? So that's that. Oh yeah. So Pusha T's is almost dry, man. Definitely gets the Mo Benz Rap Radio Seal of Approval, man. Definitely a dope album. So you know, just those two songs that I don't really like, but other than that, it's the album go. From basically top to bottom. And it's nice, short and sweet, man. It's 12 tracks on there, and then you skipping those two that I told you about. It's 10 nice tracks on there. So big shout-out to that. Now, a couple of show reviews I'm going to get into real quick, you know, before we end the show. So, once again, you know, me and my wife's one guilty pleasure that we really just come together and just vibe is our reality shows, you know what I'm saying? So, the reality show that got me open a little bit that I've been rocking, too. One, I'm going to talk about this because I don't want to forget because I've been meaning to talk about it. I didn't get a chance to. Big shout-out to South Africa, right? South Africa was on our top five the last couple of weeks. They fell off this week. But every time I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to talk about this show I've been watching. So anyway, I didn't really get a chance to finish watching the show, but I saw bits and pieces of it. It's pretty good. I'm gonna get back to it. But it's called Young, Rich, and African. And it's just a Netflix reality show, but it's dope, man. Anytime I get to see Africa, it's on TV, whether it's some nature shit, some old school Egyptian shit, anything just cultural, man, and it's got to deal with Africa, man. I'm all for it. And it's cool to just see them in a reality type of shit, man. And so it's Young, Rich, and African. It basically takes place in South Africa. And, you know, it's just different, I guess. I think one is an artist that's popular there. One is an actress that's popular there, a stylist. And, you know, it's representing, man. They got a couple people from Nigeria that's on there, Zimbabwe. And it's just cool, man, just seeing how that whole African culture is, man. You know what I'm saying? Just seeing how they is, you know, basically across the sea, you know what I'm saying? And it's pretty dope, you know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to big them up, man. Young, Rich, and African. I like it, man. It's been pretty good. Like I said, I didn't finish watching it, but me and my wife was watching it. I definitely just wanted to shout that out. The other reality show that got me open, like I said, is Black Ink Crew Compton. And I fucks with Compton, man. I fucks with that West Coast. I love the energy. You know what I'm saying? I always talk about rap music on this show, even though I listen to everything. You know what I'm saying? And I guess it's growing up in Cleveland. We, like, in Ohio, we right in the middle. So we would just take the best of the West, the best of the East, New York type shit, best of the South, best of the Midwest, and we would just rock with all of it. You know what I'm saying? But what always gravitated to me the most was West Coast. You know what I'm saying? I just, family out there, you know what I'm saying? And it's just, you know, I dig that, the whole coach, the code. So anyway, what's kind of interesting about Black Ink Crew Compton is this dude named KT, and, you know, he wanted to open up his first tattoo shop in Compton. So it's this shit he tried to do to get it open. And he got his cousin or his homeboy, I think his name is Tim, and they just trying to get it going. Now, they've been fucking up. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just bigging them up because they, you know, but it's, I guess it's trial and error. But I love just the business aspect of how they're going for it. And what's interesting about it is, I don't want to give it away, but this is one cat to come in from Philly, and it's another tattoo artist coming from Philly. She's a female, and they come into the shop, and then you see that whole kind of tension start to form of just, you know, the whole East and West and how we do things out here, and I don't really rock with how y'all doing things and y'all trying to kind of infiltrate. And but I got to big up the thing that's interesting too is the kid that comes from Philly, you know, he bossing up, you know, he got his little like kind of ice cream business popping off. And I guess during the whole COVID situation, he bossed up, you know what I'm saying? Got his store key positions. So it's just funny, man. It's not funny, but it's just interesting to see the dynamic, man, of just two business owners really just trying to get at it and you know, and boss up, man. I just like to see that, man, get inspired, man. So definitely been just rocking with that Black Ink Crew Compton. And it's just to see how that game shit is, like, the way it is, man. It's cold. Just, like, you know, if you fuck, I can't fuck with you because, you know, you don't fuck with my homeboy. So the cold is off. I can't rock with you. And it's just, it's interesting. And I like to see how, like, this is one dude, you know, did like 12 years, and he get out and you know, and they give him a job because he want to be a tattoo artist. So he's like an apprentice and he's just showing his story or whatever. And I just like to see, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just like to see blackness, man. And I like to just see blackness from all aspects, man. Like, that's what I say. I'm watching an African show, West Coast. We got Real Housewives of Atlanta. I think this popped back off, man. So I'm going to get back into that zone. I think that just came back a few days ago. So, you know, I just like to see black people flourishing in all different cultures, man. But anyway, this has been the world famous Chop Up. So as always, big shout out to Smooth on the check-in. Big shout-outs to Black. Big shout-outs to me for the world-famous chop-up. As always, if you missed the show, definitely check out the retweet. You know what I'm saying? Black and already tweeted out, so I'm going to retweet it out during the week so you can vibe. If you want to put a face with the voice, as always, check me out on IG. That's MOBINNS. Just keep it respectful. You know what I'm saying? Definitely follow the Twitter page, man. I'm always, you know what I'm saying, flourishing on there. You know what I'm saying? So if you really want to just really vibe to the way what I be on, definitely check out the Twitter page, man. That's Real Adult Talk, and we spell it with that country twang, T-A-W-K. So, yeah, man, same time. I don't want to get cut off this week like I did a couple of weeks ago, so I'm going to wrap it up. But definitely check us out every Sunday. You know how we do, 9 p.m., 10:30 Eastern time. And then always, too, man, if you want to call the show, man, if you got something to talk about, man, you know, we chopping it up and you want to, you know, put your two cents in, man, and give you a point of view, definitely call in. That's 646-787-1839. So, as always, everybody be safe. Until the next time, peace.